Good morning and welcome to the Daily Recollection. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Willingness, noun, defined in this practice as what's here when I don't want to. What is here when I don't want to? We could say that the discovery of this mysterious what's here when I isn't is the entirety of the spiritual journey. We heed the call of this ineffable power when it dawns on us that the attainment of what I want doesn't quench the restlessness that no thing satisfies. We may not know what we're seeking when we set out on this adventure of discovery, but we do know we need a way to follow the quiet clarity of the still small voice instead of the strident superficial authority we've been following. So we seek a practice. A practice gives us a vocabulary, a framework, tools for the journey, and then the battle begins. Unwillingness enters the picture in the form of the familiar refrain of resistance. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. I can't. I won't. You can't make me. We're so surprised to feel and hear this counterforce that doesn't want to meditate, is hesitant to participate in the offering, doesn't like to RL, selectively applies the teachings, ignores the guidance, and is basically campaigning for not doing the work of practice. We find ourselves having to recruit willingness to keep our practice commitment. The little monk hits the snooze button on the alarm clock. She can't get up. She doesn't want to leave her warm bed and brave the cold of her hermitage. She doesn't feel like going to meditation. It's been 6 years, and every morning, 6 days a week, rain or shine, she's made her way to the morning sit. Just this once, she wants to sleep in. 7:15 a.m. She's going to be late anyway. Why get up? 7:20 a.m. She won't make it. Willingness is what's there when you don't want to, chimes the alarm clock, quoting from the teacher's book on the bedside table. Suddenly, something gets her out of bed. She throws on some clothes and sprints to the hall. She's late. The sit is already in progress. She can't enter the hall. So she settles down on the bench outside, takes a deep breath, and counts to one. So you made it, says the Buddha, and sits down beside the little monk. Almost didn't, the little monk confesses, but something brought me here. The Buddha laughs. I brought you here. I always will. Even if I don't want to? Asks the little monk. The Buddha laughs again. Well, sometimes I'll come and get you, and sometimes you'll have to find the willingness to come to me. But since we're always looking for each other, we'll eventually find one another. Whether or not we awaken is our choice. We've got to be willing to find freedom, even when I don't want to or I don't feel like it. Fortunately, we're also being sought. Isn't awakening simply the realization that we are never lost? From I Know Why the Buddha Laughs, Stories from a Zen Monastery. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Elizabeth. Thank you for taking my call.
You are so welcome, Elizabeth. What are you seeing this day?
I don't know. That really reminded me the willingness and the still small voice is in that place when we're doing the two-handed exercise. And for me, I've had an experience where the right hand is very, it's a very still small voice that almost can't seem to draw it out, facilitate it, get any traction. The mentor hasn't been able to, you know, really get any traction, but then there was the willingness to just stay with it until finally something, you know, usually when working with the right hand, there's a memory bubble pops of something like, oh, I get what, you know, or it makes kind of finally makes sense, but it was a very still small voice and just finally staying with it when I'd basically given up, and then just this intuition dropped in about it.
Yes, that's beautifully articulated, perfectly described. With the two components, the one component is, for whatever combination of reasons, you didn't give up. Now, it would be lovely if we could say, well, Elizabeth, that was because of this and this and this and this. And so there. Now you have your list. So anytime you get stuck, just go down that list and you'll be able to stick with it. But the fact of the matter is, we don't know why we're willing. We don't know what is causing us to stay with it, right? And then when we do, and that mystical, magical moment happens, and suddenly we're here, and everything that has been difficult drops away. It's just that glorious moment. If we said, now, Elizabeth, tell us what that moment is. You know, we would, you would go through the kinds of things that we try to say to point at an experience that cannot be stated. No words can capture it. We know when it's there. We know it's what we're going for. We know it's everything when we're in it. But what is it? What is it really? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just really important because it's come up before and I've never been, you know, it takes time, I guess. It's just a process, but what that still small voice was even barely able to express, it's important for the human being to be whole and to attend to. So
yes,
just
yes,
grateful that.
And
we,
again, what, you know, it's holding on to the fact that we don't know, that we're never going to understand it. The conditioned mind can go on endlessly about everything, especially everything that's wrong and missing, right? But that thing that we are seeking, I'm working right now with one of our old books called That Which You're Seeking Is Causing You to Seek. And what you're describing for us is exactly that. We are being sought. That causes us to seek. When we find, we don't know what we found, but we know we found it. And we know it's the most important thing in a human life. Yeah?
Yeah. And to be honest, I think there was some giving up in the process.
Of course. Not completely. Not completely.
No.
Ego tried to have its way with you, but it wasn't successful. And it won't be.
Yes, so thank you. Thank you for continued inspiration on this practice. Thank you so much for the Sangha and the practice.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Take good care of yourself.
Okay, talk to you guys soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Elizabeth. It is so mysterious, isn't it, Cherry? Because
what
does give up? I mean, it's my experience that something does have to let go in order for the revelation to happen, right? There is a letting go. That,
yes.
I don't know. I have to give up because then I'm ready to be found. Until then, I'm not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a humility of realizing I can't do this, that the ego that wants to point out what's wrong with me and what's wrong with life and what's wrong with everything and I just need to be different and if only I were this way or if I did that, there's no truth to it. Right? There just isn't. And what we're going for is something that we actually don't know, but we feel it deep in our hearts. And when we encounter it, when we're there and one with it, we know it.
Yeah. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Brian in Nashville.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, so... This is great. The experience of, I mean, I don't know, when the teaching is the experience is like, I have no words. Here's what happened. I was away when the exercise came in and I didn't get back and didn't have markers. It was like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. Couldn't find the big piece of paper and it's just like, oh, all of this don't want to, can't, whatever, the whole thing we talked about yesterday in the show. And then I look over, and there's a pen, and there's a piece of paper, and I turned it over, and it's blank on the backside. And then it just happened, like the circle and the words and the participation just happened, like the willingness just happened, and it was just gushingly beautiful. And I don't even know. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't. Yes, the letting go also.
Yeah, it's very much the what Sherry was just referencing, right? It's so mysterious, and yet when we're in the process, we completely delight in it. And it does happen in that way that you're talking about, right, Brian? I mean, both literally and figuratively speaking. So you were away, then you get here, and where you are, there isn't the ability. It's the focus on what is not, right? There's no color pencils. You can't do the exercise unless you are whatever that the flavor of the unwillingness is. And then, miraculously, the willingness gets recruited, right? That whole experience of I'm seeking this, it's seeking me, we're going to find each other. And so it offers itself in that alternate way, right? Okay, there's a piece of paper, not that large piece of paper that I should go to the store and get, not those colored pencils, but this pencil. And then the circle happens, and everything that is supposed to be in the circle is in the circle. And then we're just left with, thank you.
Yeah, that was, it's the quintessential Zen experience. This moment unfolds now, over and over. Here it is, and it does feel like there's that reaching out for that which is reaching back also too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like just mm-hmm. not being afraid of it. Like yeah, see what happens. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is the experience of the Kanodoku, right? We don't know it. But we're on that trajectory, and there is a call and response that is the structure that we're within. Yeah? We're not aware that that's what we're within, but it is what we're within. And so that seeking and the response, as soon as we drop into it, we can experience it. There is a reaching out, and there is a response. Those words do not describe it accurately, but it feels like that.
Yeah.
So what mysterious force prompts us to come back to one or know that we wandered off or know that there's a piece of paper that you could turn over and draw a circle on with a pen?
Yeah. And it's just feeling cared for. So the yesterday show, near the end of it, there was a moment where what dropped in was, I want to listen to this again. And so I made a note. I set an alarm to listen to this again. And I didn't. And then this morning I saw the alarm, and like, the note. And I'm like, all right, let's listen. And then I didn't. And then so I was like, well, there it is in front of me again. Listen to it again, Brian. And so I did.
It doesn't give up, does it?
No,
it's a lovely line of the story, right? There's I'll always be here. I'll always be willing. And that's exactly the experience that we feel cared for. It's insistently, quietly calling us back.
Yeah, I didn't even know if I heard the thing I wanted to hear again, but what I heard was, you know, we can't make mistakes. You know, that's what it's like. Yeah, that's. It's like it's not going to be all right. It's always already all right. And that's such a different space than we get conditioned into.
Yes. Oh, that's so beautiful on both levels. Because what I wanted to hear again is why I made the note, but what I heard was so appropriate to the moment, which is the reassurance, right? There's no way to make mistakes. That's what I heard. That's appropriate to the moment I'm in. And I get that reassurance and comfort that no, it's not going to be all right. It is already all right because there are no mistakes. Oh, that's just so beautiful.
Yes, what a fabulous year. Again and again, another fabulous year. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
And as you two pointed out, it just leaves us with thank you. There really isn't anything else for us to say, right? It's just, wow, it's just astonishing, and here we are, and thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. This is Mike from Oregon.
Hi, Mike. What are you seeing?
Well, I put myself in the queue for the first time, so I guess
good
I'm
man.
Just... and, of course, I've been fighting ego, trying to take it over and telling me why today wouldn't be a good day for that. And
Why today, Mike, is never a good day. It's never a good day for ego.
It never is. It's just maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe someday, but yeah, not now.
And then I was reading the assignment, and it was essentially what I was going through, you know, the willingness and getting out of comfort zones and handling some challenges that were kind of being thrown at me just to get on the call. And so I thought it was just really important for me to get myself in the queue.
Yes. Yes, for the very reasons that people have been describing, right? Because when we do that, we are saying yes to what is caring for us, right? Mm. That still small voice, the mentor, that which is Buddha nature, however we want to talk about it, is always there saying, well, Mike, you don't have to suffer, right? You really don't have to suffer. To be here, don't have to suffer, right?
Mm.
And ego is saying, no. And then at a certain point, I don't know, it just all comes together in that wondrous alchemy, and like, today's the day. In spite of any resistance, yeah, right now, yeah, I'm going to put myself in the queue.
And... the one thing that did kind of stick out to me is there was kind of a fear attached to doing it, and I got a little angry because, like, it's not that fearful of a thing to do. So that really caught my attention, so that might have kind of really pushed me towards, yeah, I got to do this.
Well, I often, I don't know how much you hear us, or this is your first time, so our first conversation, so I don't know, but... you know, I'll often encourage people to get up on your hind legs, right? Mm. Just say no to it. Mm. It's pushing you around. It's telling you what to do. It's making you afraid. It's telling you you can't. Mm. That you, not just no. You don't. You're not the boss of me.
Yeah.
I do what I want. I'm going to follow my heart.
Mm. Yeah, all true, Sherry. All true.
Very good.
I'm glad I got on. I've been listening for about 10 years, so it was more than time to get in.
Yes, I would say we were due, Mike.
Yeah.
We were due to talk. So, there, good Lord willing, there will be a year-long retreat next year, and we will talk more in that one, eh?
That sounds great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
Feel
you.
Happy.
You too.
Thank you, Mike. We always find each other, don't we, Sherry?
We do. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It is. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa Ann Corvallis.
Hey, Vanessa.
Hi. I guess I was just in queue practice. I have noticed that I pay attention better if I do that. So, I was just doing that, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an important thing to notice, right? I mean, we're doing is training. We're training willingness, right? Training to recruit willingness. We're training to be willingness. And so to me, it's such a beautiful way in which paying attention pays off, right? Because if I want to pay attention, I want to support myself to do the things that allow me to pay attention. So putting myself in the queue allows me to pay attention more closely. Great. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I'll keep doing that. Because then whenever there is a tendency not to pay attention, the muscle to pay attention is what becomes available to me, right? Because that's what I want. That's what I choose.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Can I tell you something else I've been watching?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So I'm newer at my job, and it's kind of a high-stress job. I'm a nurse at a hospital, and sometimes as I'm learning, I have to really remind myself that it's okay to not know so many of the answers and to ask questions. But I also notice that I really feel it's kind of hard to disconnect at the end of the night when I'm done with my shift. And so I'm just kind of watching that kind of checking in with myself, like, what do I need? And I'm maybe still kind of like processing, and I don't feel like I have a great routine yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you are, right? You're aware of your process. And it just feels so funny, Ismail. It feels awkward, right, just to reflect that, right, Vanessa, because there isn't anything else. I'm always only ever paying attention in order to be aware of where the attention is and just noticing. And so you notice, this is a new job. I don't know the answers. Well, maybe I don't need to know the answers. And the thing that I'm hearing most loudly in what you're saying is there isn't any suffering. There's something wrong with this. It's all observation.
Yeah.
And isn't that remarkable?
Yes. I do get caught in a little bit of suffering. I will catch it. You know, I will be like, I wish I'd done that better. Or I wish I knew that. Or I wish I'd, researched that instead of asking the question. You know, like kind of all those things. And I just have to be like, let it go. Like my drive home. Like, let that go.
Compassionately. Compassionately, right? Because what you're watching is, it might be dropping in. Oh, this is it's what we had in that last conversation, right? Life is constantly telling us, giving us hints and information and still small voice, and this could be there. And if we're there, it's one level of being receptive to what the intelligence in the universe is trying to tell me. Now that can be converted into feeling bad about the fact that you didn't do that and you didn't do this, which is what causes the suffering, right? But we catch on to it and we drop that conversation and compassionately say, I mean, if the person is feeling bad, you can absolutely reassure her and you can drop the conversation and not feel bad, right?
Right, exactly. I've been practicing
catch
that.
It.
Thank you. Yes,
catch it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Vanessa.
Yes, show.
Catching it. Being here for
it.
It's always kind when we're here for it. When we miss it and ego gets to turn it into something wrong, then there's suffering. We have to catch on to that, too.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's our next caller. We're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Patty calling.
Hello, Patty.
Hello. I've had a lot of resistance.
No.
So I put myself in the queue to say no.
Yes. Say it isn't so.
It isn't so. Oh, boy. Yes, I've been kind of hanging on by a string, practice, and so it's really nice to talk to you and to feel a part of things.
Yeah, and again, it sounds like it's noticing.
Coming back,
and what ego would say to us is, well, this is a big mistake, because what you're supposed to do is just get here, stay here, no problem, cruise to, because you're going to live forever, so there'll never be any more anything to deal with, right? And we get to see that, it doesn't quite go that way. And we can get talked into all kinds of places of resistance, and maybe the suffering isn't hideous, but we know it's more suffering than is required, and we see it, and here we are.
Yeah.
No problem.
And not
no
listening
mistakes.
To the standards or,
nope.
you know.
Nope. Nope.
That's right.
Yeah, because that's just listening to more ego crapola. And, of course, ego doesn't care what we listen to as it natters on. It just wants the attention.
And when I come back, it's like this sense of, ah, I'm here.
Yes.
I enjoy this sangha, these people, you know, like just to be present. And it takes a minute, just a moment to come to be here.
Yes.
With
yes.
you, with sangha.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then again, what we don't want to fall for is, well, Patty, you know this. Why do you resist? Why? We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
It's just like,
no.
Okay,
no.
Well, I wandered off for a little while. And, you know, it's not as happy when I wander off. And so, yeah, I'm really glad to be here. And now I'm here and enjoying here. And this is where I want to be.
That's right.
My choice.
And I don't need to say anything profound. It's just I'm here.
That's right. That is profound.
Yeah.
We exactly. can get fooled into thinking there's something more profound than here, but
yeah.
actually, no.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I will remember that today.
Good. Good. Yeah. Good. Because it helps us be here.
Exactly.
Just as we are. Just as we are.
Exactly.
Yep. In any given moment. Yeah. All right.
Got show.
Very good. Got show.
Thanks, Patty. There's nothing more profound than just being here, Sherry. And
that's
on that
it.
Note, I believe I could bring on another caller. So
I think
go.
So.
Next
it
caller.
Looks that way.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate calling from Seattle.
Hey, Kate.
Hi. Feeling profoundly here, and just boy, that surprised me. Sorry, surprised ego, I guess. I've been that little reading about the little monk showing up brings tears to my eyes almost every time I hear it or read it, and I just have been sinking into that feeling of just the understanding that it's always there. Like we're always looking for each other. And it's just so touching and beautiful. And I can turn to that feeling of the yes of like just that willingness and how sweet it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. We are moved, right? Because I project, I too, whenever I read that story, I'm moved to that place because what is so loud and clear in the subtext of the story is that love is the nature of all that is,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what really melts us. We can never do anything wrong. and it's that place, right, Kate, which is it's the mysterious part of it. It is what I am, and yet there is a separation from it and a coming home to it that seems to be an oscillation that's inevitable. And every mm-hmm. time I come back to it, that reinforcement of that love that is until it isn't something that we ever leave, that is the scope of the journey, and it's just beautiful to rest in that when so much of our attention is habituated to living in hostility and separation, right?
Yeah, and it's
to
just
come back
such,
to the truth. Oh,
coming back to the truth. Yeah, and it's just so tender. It's always just so mm-hmm. tender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so tender.
Yeah.
So
tender. Thank you for another beautiful, tender coming home year this year.
Mm. Well, thank you, Kate, and thank you, everyone.
Yes, everyone.
I love that. I love that. Tender. That's it. So I know we're out of time, but in the book that I'm working on now, the back of that book is a little essay called One Less Act of Violence. And what it talks about is what happens to us as children as we're being conditioned to be hard enough to make it in the world. Not the world as the world actually is or could be, but as we're conditioned to believe it is. And to come back to realize that what was taken away from us is living in that tenderness, that open-heartedness, so that every moment is an experience of that which is tender and beautiful and gentle and kind and sweet and good, and that's what we are. And no matter how many nasty voices want to tell us something different, they lie. And so when we touch in that way, it seems like every conversation, every one of these conversations this morning has been an expression of touching in and that tenderness, that sweetness that life is.
Yeah. Just going there. Right?
Yeah.
Very just going there.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.